This is a true story. Many years ago, there was a lady who went to a gospel hall type of church, and they used to use the language that if you became a Christian, you were saved. That's a good biblical word, but often isn't used in some churches. And like me in my early days, she was suspicious of the Church of England. How could she be? and wondered if they could be real Christians. I understand that because that's how I was brought up when I was very young. One day, she got on a train and she finished up sitting opposite a bishop, you know, purple shirt and all the rest of it. So she rather cheekily said to him, "Are you saved?" And he thought he would play her at her own game. So he replied, "Do you mean Esothen, Sotsamai, or Sothesamai?" He was quoting New Testament Greek, by the way. What he was actually saying, "Do you mean I have been saved, I am being saved, or I will be saved?" So he really caught her at her own game. And he was in fact saved, I can tell you, but that's the way this went. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because he made a very important theological point. Salvation is past, present, and future if we've come to faith in Christ. So if we're sincerely trusting in Christ, then we are saved. We have been saved. What have we been saved for? From? We've been saved from condemnation. I mean, by rights, God should write us off as a dead loss, but he didn't. He saved us from that condemnation. And so when we came to faith in Christ, whether it happened suddenly, as in my experience and the experience of many, or gradually, the end result is the important thing, that we're trusting in Christ, we have been saved from condemnation. And we are being saved. That means we're being made more like Jesus. So we should be more like Jesus than we were a year ago. Well, we can ask ourselves a question, can't we, as to whether that is in fact the case. Maybe we have to think carefully about that. And then we will be saved by being admitted into heaven on the day of judgment. As I say, God's dealt with the condemnation, so we'll stand before him. Yes, of course, we'll have to answer for the way we've lived our lives, and we may be ashamed about certain things, but we know because we're trusting in Jesus that there is no condemnation. Isn't that fantastic? And we will be welcomed into heaven on that day of judgment. And Peter speaks about this in the reading we had from 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 to 9. And first of all, he was speaking about the new birth. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth." Christianity isn't just that we happen to believe this and other people happen to believe the other and all the rest of it. Actually, it's a supernatural transformation. If we're trusting in Christ, we have been supernaturally changed. And that's why we can talk about the new birth. Christ has conquered our old nature. Isn't that wonderful? That all the old nature, the sinful nature, the nature that wants to fall to temptation, the nature that wants to be selfish and all the rest of it, Christ has conquered that in us as we've come to faith in him. And if we believe that, we'll find it actually works. It's not believing what you know ain't true, it's believing what you know is true, because that's what the Bible teaches. That's what Paul and others were teaching about, and in this case, Peter. He's conquered our old sinful nature, so we no longer need to be dominated by it. And he's given us a new nature, and the best way of describing that is that Jesus lives through us. Because if we're trusting in Christ, we have received Jesus by the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us. And that new nature is Jesus living out his life through us. Which again is a wonderful truth that a lot of people don't appreciate. And so we can trust him since he dwells within us. If we're confronted with somebody we don't love, happens to all of us, doesn't it? When did it last happen to you? You come across somebody that you don't love. If you're not careful, you might be actually very unloving to them. And we're confronted. And we can send up a quick sign, and we used to call them arrow prayers. You know, a little arrow prayer to the Lord. Your love, Lord. And that's very correct because Jesus is dwelling in us by the Holy Spirit. And so we can say, in effect, what we're saying is, I don't like this person. I'm not very fond of them at all. I could easily be unloving, but Lord, your love, pour out your love through me for that person. And so it's very practical. So the new birth means we have been transformed. And we have also been saved from condemnation, as I said earlier. But it's not just new birth, Peter talks about, but a living hope. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we're all meant to be eschatological. You know that word now, don't you? I think you do anyway. I use it often. That's to do with the end times. What's going to happen when Jesus comes again and so on. We are given the new birth in order to have a living hope, looking to the future. And when we have communion, we're not just looking back. That's very, very important that we are looking back towards Jesus and what he did 2,000 years ago. But we're also looking forward. And one of the things we're looking forward to is the marriage supper of the Lamb, as Revelation puts it. That great banquet, so to speak, that we enjoy when we get to heaven. You're probably thinking, oh, well, that's all picture language because we won't be having banquets in heaven. That's silly. I'll come back to that sort of thing in a minute. So we're not only born again to be saved from condemnation, rejection by God now, or to have Jesus enabling us to love like he does and live like he does, but we're born again to look forward. Jesus conquered death. The wounds of death no longer affected him. And the physical limitations no longer hindered him. He was no ghost. We've just read about Thomas. Thomas wouldn't believe until Jesus said to him, touch the wounds in my hands and my feet. And when he touched, his hand didn't go through some ghostly figure. He actually felt and touched and was able to touch those wounds that were healed, but you know, the scars were still there, but they had healed miraculously. And so we can look forward not to a heaven which is airy fairy and ghostly, but to one that is in a sense physical, but their physical limitations won't be hindering. Jesus could move through solid objects, he could appear and disappear. There'll be far less accidents when we can do that, won't there? Because if we walk into something, we'll be able to walk through it. I'm not joking. This is the sort of thing that heaven is like. It's a new heavens and a new earth. It's not some sort of airy, fairy, ghostly dwelling. And I like astronomy. The astronomers and the scientists often say that there's more than one universe. And there are parallel universes, which are only, if I can put it in very simple terms, they're inches away from us, but we can't see them. We can't experience them at all. And I like to think of heaven being like that. Not above the bright blue sky with the children's hymn. But actually heaven is so close, if I can put it very simply, it's inches away, but we can't see it, we can't feel it, we can't hear it, we can't experience it at the moment. And isn't it wonderful to think that our loved ones, friends or relatives that have died, trusted in Christ, are there inches away from us in this parallel universe that we call heaven. I love to think of it like that, and I think it's a helpful way, it is to me anyway, of thinking about it. So we are born again, and that means to be transformed, Jesus dwelling in us, living through us, but we're born again for a living hope. We're looking forward to what's going to happen. And then following on from that, the third thing is an eternal inheritance. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Nothing can spoil our eternal inheritance. God has prepared it for us. We have, if you like, a mansion in heaven, if you want to use that picture language, although I'm not sure it's entirely a picture. That place in heaven where we're going to live. And the Lord is keeping it for us. I suggest to you that means it is safe. The Lord's looking after it. Nothing can spoil the eternal inheritance. It can't fade and it can't perish. And it's kept by God for us in heaven. But he will also keep us, on the other hand, and shield us until we get there. So he's keeping our eternal heaven. God has got our house, each of us, for us in heaven, so to speak. And he's keeping it, and it doesn't fade, and it doesn't go wrong, it doesn't fall down, whatever. Again, I'm using very simple language. But he also protects us, and guards us, and keeps us until we get there. And that's wonderful. We're looking forward to that. But does that mean everything will be hunky-dory? Do you know, I was thinking about that term, hunky-dory, and you're familiar with it, I assume. And I came across the song that it probably came from. Listen to this, it's absolutely unbrilliant. One of the boys am I, that always am in clover, with spirits light and high, 'tis well I'm known all over, I'm always to be found, a singing in my glory, with your smiling faces round, 'tis then I'm hunky-dory. There you are, that's something new you experienced this afternoon. I've told you the origin, or the probable origin, of the term hunky-dory. And is life always like that? Well, no. No, it isn't. Sometimes, you know, it's a Monday morning feeling, isn't it, so to speak? And so Peter goes on to recognize this. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So God has given us, if we're trusting in him, the new birth, and Jesus dwells within us and can live through us, and we can pray that he will show his love and other things, patience and kindness through us, to a living hope. There is a place in heaven. He's prepared a house for us, so to speak. And the eternal inheritance is there, which he's keeping for us. But he wants to prepare us for it. And it's rather like military training, is the Christian life. Onward, Christian soldiers, we sing every now and again. And that's what we are. We are Christian soldiers. And it's military training. And that means it will be demanding. That means it will be difficult. That means it will be painful at times. But he's strengthening our faith. When things go wrong, we can either give up and think, oh, really, oh, I've had enough of this, you know, I'm giving up. If God allows this to happen, I'm not going to believe in him anymore. We could either do that, or we can say, I'm going to trust God even though I don't understand him. I've quoted before, I think, that lovely prayer of Mother Basilea, my Father, I do not understand you, but I trust you. I think that's a brilliant prayer. My Father, I do not understand you, but I trust you. Sometimes that's what we have to say to God, because we don't understand the things that go wrong. We don't understand why we're going through the pain and the difficulty. We don't understand why our prayers are not answered. We don't understand why we suffer or other people we love suffer. And we have to pray that prayer, my Father, I do not understand you, but I trust you. And that's the right way to respond, as opposed to the negative reaction. And so the Lord is preparing us for the inheritance. And it's military training. So we have to go on the route marches. We have to carry the heavy loads. We have to go through pain and difficulty and so on. Because he's training us for heaven. He's strengthening our faith, in other words, which is the foundation of receiving our eternal inheritance. So don't rebel, don't be discouraged, don't give up. You're on your way to an eternal heavenly inheritance, and the Lord is keeping it for you. He's prepared it for you. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know, we don't always experience consistently an inexpressible and glorious joy. But there's something wrong if we don't sometimes experience that. And maybe sometimes we need to get alone with the Lord and just in an unhurried way to think about him, his greatness, his love, his power. And I've found by experience, even recently, that an inexpressible and glorious joy can enter into your heart and mind and soul, and we can express that in whatever way is appropriate. So, the Lord has given us a new birth, and he dwells within us by the Spirit, and we can ask him to live and to show his characteristics through us. We've been born again into a living hope, looking towards heaven, an eternal inheritance, and the Lord will keep us in the process, training us through our military training, so to speak, as Christian soldiers, so that we're prepared to enter into that glorious inheritance, which is only inherited by faith, hence the training to strengthen our faith. Let's pray together. Let's affirm or reaffirm our faith in Jesus. Let's thank him for his great love shown especially on the cross. He did it for me. He did it for you. And let's ask him to dwell in our hearts and show himself more through the Holy Spirit, showing his love, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his generosity, all the great qualities that we want to display. Let's just ask him to be there in our hearts and minds and lives, and just commit ourselves, recommit ourselves to following him and serving him, even though the way will be difficult at times, even though the military training will be painful at times, but knowing that he's leading us on to glory. Father, we pray that we may so love you and serve you, be so grateful for the new birth and the inheritance and heaven and what you've prepared for us and are keeping for us, that we will, by your grace, go through the pain and the suffering that this life sometimes brings to us, and let it strengthen our faith so we're better prepared to enter into that eternal inheritance one day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.